If you have a mom who prayed for you, say amen. 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 So thankful for praying moms who are faithful. Happy Mother's Day and welcome to First Baptist Church. If you've not met me, I'm Pastor Mark, and I'm so thankful that you chose to be with us this morning. I'm really thankful for a mom who not only encouraged me in my faith and my walk with the Lord, but encouraged me in ministry. And she would be watching today if she was still with us. I lost my mom last year, and she would watch our service faithfully online and knew many of you through that opportunity. I'm also thankful for my wife, Cindy, who continues to be a godly mom and who loves our grown kids. And as Jake said, our kids wouldn't be here without them for many reasons. I hope you take time today to honor the mothers in your life. It's a special day. But we're here to read God's Word, and that's what we do every week. The Bible honors women throughout the ages and includes them in many key historical accounts. We have so many examples of faithful mothers in God's Word who prayed for their children, who had an impact on their lives. And true Christianity, unlike no other faith, holds women in high regard. It doesn't demean women, doesn't denigrate women. Jesus spent time with women, speaking to them, teaching them, serving them. And in his day, that was culturally shocking. The Apostle Paul speaks very highly of the women who supported his ministry and served alongside him, women who were discipling people, women who were providing for the church, women whose home housed the early church. This was such a shift from the temple and synagogue structure that the Jews experienced, where it was only men and young men who were involved in studying God's word. So anyone that tries to tell you that Christianity is not supportive of women does not know their facts. Pull out your Bible and you can show them. And that's what we've been doing on Mother's Day. This comes around every year around this time, if you haven't noticed that. And so several years ago, I started a series called Women of the Word. And we have studied and will continue to study these great women of God's Word. Today, we have a young woman who is a faithful example, showing us extraordinary love, showing strong resolve, and experiencing great redemption. These are themes that our mothers today can identify with, but they're also things that the rest of us guys can learn from too. So guys, don't clock out and say, oh, this is just for moms, I don't have to listen. God's word is for all of us. God's word, of course, speaks better than I can. So this morning, I'm going to read the entire story of Ruth to you. And if you check your clocks, it's 10:30, which is when we normally end. We started at 10, so don't forget that when we get to 11. Don't say, oh, we've been here too long. We're going to point out some godly traits that we see in Ruth and in Naomi and in Boaz, the key characters in this story. This whole book is only 85 verses, so you're going to hear it just go by. You're going to hear it as though I'm reading you a story, because that's the way it's written. It's a narrative, and it's things that we can see and learn from real people. It's also a great example of a short story. So those of you that love literature, in a short story, you very quickly have to meet intriguing characters. And in this case, they're real people who actually lived. We quickly need to care about them, and we want to relate to them so that we get drawn into the story. And in this short story, we find situations like unemployment, poverty, work ethic, family tragedies, caring for people in need, in-law relationships, estate planning, politics. All of these are still common issues today. And we also find difficulties with immigration, with culture clashes, and even land disputes. Some of you that are farmers have experienced those things. But most importantly, throughout this story, we will see a sovereign God who cares about people, and he offers salvation to all who call on his name. As I read, I encourage you to follow along in your Bible. You can pull the Bible out of the pew in front of you. In your bulletin is a note sheet on that insert. And the things we're looking for are love, resolve, which is like determination, and redemption. So as you're listening to the story, you can fill in those three blanks, love, resolve, and redemption, and then you can just jot down some examples that you see as we hear God's word, and then I'm going to go through and briefly touch on each of those issues. So before we go to God's word this morning, would you pray with me? And you can find Ruth right after Judges and before 1 Samuel. So it's about there in my Bible. If you want to look in the concordance or in the index in the front, you can find it there too. Let's go to God's in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for beautiful sunshine, for spring that reminds us of new life that we find in you. Thank you for the beauty of your creation, and thank you for the beauty of the women that you created in our lives, giving us mothers who not only give us life, but care for us and love us like no one else does. Women who don't give up on us, women who pray for us and care for us. And Lord, I just thank you for the women in this church. Thank you for my own mom and my wife who have loved and cared for our family. And Lord, I just pray that as we read the story of Ruth this morning, that we would see your love for her and the love of each of the people in this story for you. The fact that you provide redemption. You care for people who call on your name. Lord, I pray that this morning as we hear your word, we would go away changed, and we would not be hearers only, but we would be doers of the word. We would put into action the love and the care that you have for us as we love and care for those around us. Lord, I pray that everything we do this morning would honor and glorify you. Thank you that we could be together in your house on your day. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me and with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returns, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So first of all, we're going to talk about love. We're going to see this still in the upcoming chapters, but right in the beginning of verse 1, it tells us this is happening during the time of the judges. This was before the days when Israel had a king. God's people were unfaithful to his commands. There was anarchy, there was confusion, and there was a need for leaders to bring people back to the one true God. So God introduced one at a time judges to judge the people and also to help them against their enemies. So this is a time in Israel where things were not going great. We meet a husband and wife named Elimelech and Naomi, and they have sons named Mahlon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem. Does that name sound familiar? We sing it at December. O little town of Bethlehem. It's also the place where Rachel was buried, and it was the future birthplace of David and, of course, Jesus the Messiah. So we have Bethlehem highlighted here for us. There was a severe famine in the land of Israel. So Elimelech took his family to nearby Moab in hope of surviving. Moab was the land to the east of the Dead Sea. If you have a map in the back of your Bible, you can turn there and look. Here's Israel, here's the Dead Sea, and Moab is on the far side of it. So it was a long trip to get there. It took a long time. But Moab was a place where Lot's offspring had settled. And it was known for typically having good grazing land for herds and also fertile soil for crops. But it was also a pagan country with terrible gods and a terrible culture. God had told his people to stay away from the pagan culture, not to marry in with them. So within a period of 10 years of living in Moab, her husband and both of her sons died. And Naomi is now left with two daughters-in-law, no grandchildren that we hear about, but no family to provide for them. In that day, women wouldn't go out and work in the field alone. They couldn't own property, and especially when they're in a foreign land. So Naomi decides the best thing is to return to Israel because she heard the famine was over. This is 10 years later. Naomi made a choice. And biblical love is a choice. It's action over emotion. So out of love, Naomi offers to bring Orpah and Ruth with her. But on the way, she realizes this is probably not the best thing for these girls. Yes, I love them and I want to provide for them and care for them, but she realizes they can go back to their own homes. They can go back to their fathers. They might be able to remarry and have families of their own. So she says, "You can stay here. It's best for you. Just go back home. I can't have any more children. And even if I did right now, by the time those sons were old enough to marry, are you going to wait all of those years?" She's making a bit of a joke, but she's saying, "I'm not going to give you more children." Orpah cries and says, "I'm going to go with you." But she decides to stay. True love is action and not just words. Orpah, with her words, said, "I love you and I'm going to stay with you." But her actions showed otherwise. She decided to go back and stay in her land. But it says Ruth clung to her. She chose to love her mother-in-law. And in that beautiful passage, she said, "Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." We also will see soon Boaz's love, and that's coming in this next chapter, chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come upon the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reaper answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and she passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whom young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now, it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, and he said, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." I know there was a lot there, but you saw more love and you saw great resolve. Resolve means to find a solution to something, to hold firmly to a course of action, to see something through. It's like determination. Love requires resolve. Because as you know, there are so many problems in relationships and in family that need solutions. Love is choosing the best course of action for the other person. Love chooses to be selfless and to be serving others unconditionally. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. A godly mother resolves to love her children and never give up on them. So at the beginning of chapter 2, Naomi and Ruth move back to Bethlehem. She recognized God's sovereignty and accepted the difficulty in her life. And she said, "God brought this difficulty to me. I went away full, but now I come home empty. Without a husband, without sons, God did this." But it took resolve for her to return and recognize that God is still good, even when our days are hard. It took resolve for Ruth to trust God, this God that she barely knows, and to say, "Yes, I'll go with you, Naomi, back to a foreign country. I don't know if I'll be accepted, I don't know if I'll be wanted, or if I'll be rejected, but I trust you and I trust God." So she had the courage to go back to Israel. Ruth then had resolve to work and provide not only for herself, but for Naomi. She didn't wait for someone else to take care of her. She didn't go out on the streets begging. It says right away, she went to work. This is something that is culturally different for us. But God told the people of Israel in Leviticus 19 that when you go out and reap your harvest, don't pick up the pieces that fall as you're harvesting. And when you get to the edge of the field, don't get to the very corner and get every last stalk that's there. Leave a little bit behind so that those that are poor, those that are without property, can go glean. They're going to pick up the leftovers. It's good food still, but it's just been left in the field. It's been left on the ground. And so Ruth is gleaning in the fields of Bethlehem. And she eventually ends up in the field owned by Boaz. And she's working hard. She's picking up pieces. She's bending over, breaking her back, working to provide for her mother-in-law and for herself. Boaz honored God's commands, and he told the harvesters, leave a little bit behind. And once he learned that this young woman was Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, he said, leave a little bit extra. Let her come right behind the harvesters. Let her be there gleaning in the fields. And he said, and if some extra should drop from your hands, that's okay. He cared less about his own prosperity and wealth. He wanted to give Ruth an opportunity to provide for herself. Perhaps growing up, Boaz heard about his great-grandmother. Do you remember who that is? Rahab. Rahab is the woman in Jericho who took care of the spies, and she was saved by hanging that scarlet cord in her window. Rahab was a foreigner, but God said, anyone who comes and worships me can become part of the family of Israel. Don't keep immigrants away. Don't keep foreigners away if they come and they want to know God and worship him. So growing up, maybe Boaz heard that story and knew that his own grandmother was from a foreign nation. He had a tender heart, not only towards widows, but towards those who didn't have property, those who couldn't provide for themselves. And he made sure that there were extra crops in the field available where she was gleaning. As Ruth came to Israel, she also resolved to follow their customs. These are not the things that she grew up with, but she listened to Naomi and said, yes, you can go in this field and you can pick up food. And if you follow these men, they'll watch after you. And if you meet Boaz, listen to him because he is a good man and he'll care for you. The covering that it says Ruth covered herself with as he was sleeping at night is the same picture that it says back in chapter 1 when they came to Israel and they would be covered by the wings of God. They would be protected by God. And the wings or the edges of his cloak covered her. And that was a picture of her being protected and cared for. It was also a way that was a form of an acceptance of an engagement. So in a way, Ruth is proposing to Boaz and saying, I will be your wife if you'll cover me. And he keeps his voice down. And he says, yes, stay here, but don't let anybody else see you. And it says she wakes up before the light is bright enough for people to recognize her, and she leaves. He cares for her. He protects her reputation. And he says, I will redeem you, but there is a redeemer closer than I. There's someone in the family who's next in line for your property. So if you remember all the way back to the very beginning when God gave land to each of the tribes, he said, this land will stay in your tribe. This land will stay in your family, in your clan forever. And if you decide to rent it out or sell it after the year of Jubilee, it's all going to return back to you. So they've been gone for 10 years for a famine. And now they're back and someone else is in their land. Someone else is taking care of it. And it's the opportunity for someone in the family to redeem the property. And also, as Naomi talked about, I don't have more sons that could marry you. Part of their culture and their custom was someone else in the family would marry the widow so that they could keep the family name going. Boaz is part of the family of Elimelech, but there's someone next in line before him. And he doesn't sneak around the rules. He doesn't try and cheat somebody out. He says, I have to let him have that first opportunity to redeem the property. So we're going to now hear the rest of the story. Chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. And then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. And then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself. I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. And then Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are my witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of this native place. You are my witnesses this day. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Boaz says, I will redeem you. Redeem means to buy something back, to pay for it. And specifically, it's used to say to pay for sin, to pay for actions that were not appropriate. To redeem something is to bring it back from badness to good. So Ruth sought redemption from Boaz. She placed herself under his care and under his authority. Boaz protected Ruth and her reputation, as I said before. He not only made sure there was food for her and for Naomi, but he told his young men to watch out for her and keep her safe. He told her to stay nearby his women so she would be protected. And then she was invited to drink from their water and to sit at their table and to dine with them. Normally, the gleaners would just show up after everyone's done working. They'd scurry around and get their food and take off. But he said, here, sit with my workers, drink from their water, eat with us. Boaz redeemed Ruth and Naomi both by paying the price for Elimelech's property. As I said, Boaz was honorable. He took this to the town elders. He took it to court, the city gate, and told everyone, here's the next person in line. Will you redeem it? And he quickly said, sure, I'll take more property. And then Boaz says, and by the way, you also get a new bride. And he said, hold on, I spoke too soon. This is going to mess up my inheritance if I take on the name of Elimelech's family and add more property. So Boaz, she's all yours. So he pays for the property, and in buying the property, also has the right to marry Ruth. The townspeople recognize God's sovereignty and God's care in this. They blessed Boaz and Ruth's marriage, and they prayed that God would give them a family. And their son, Obed, was David's grandfather, David the king, who was known as a man after God's own heart, and David, whose family line became the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Jesus, our Redeemer, came through Boaz redeeming Ruth and Naomi and her family. God offers you redemption. He's not offering you a plot of land in Israel, but he is promising you a home in glory. You share in the inheritance with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says we are joint heirs with Jesus when we are redeemed. We have a heavy debt to pay, our sin, every one of us. And the Bible says we can't pay that ourselves. We can't work for it. We can't do anything to wipe the slate clean. But Jesus paid for it. Just as Boaz stepped up and said, I'll pay the price, Jesus stepped up on your behalf, on my behalf, and said, I'll pay the debt of their sin. And that debt was his own life. Jesus bled and died on the cross so that we could be redeemed. He bought us back from sin. He paid the price so that we would not have to face death, and gives us eternal life, just as he rose from the grave. He wants us to place ourselves under his authority and to say, yes, God, I trust you to care for me. Yes, I will follow you. Your people will be my people, and you, God, will be my God. God promises to provide for us, to bless us as we choose to live, to honor and glorify him. I hope you found some of these things as I was reading, some of these actions of love and redemption and resolve, and hopefully you even found some more that I didn't even mention. So you can send me a note later in the day if you want to text me and say, here's a couple more I found. I'd love to hear from you. A couple of takeaway thoughts this morning. Not only as we think about Mother's Day, but guys, as we think about this beautiful story of love, resolve, and redemption. Ruth loved her new family. She was willing to leave home, leave everything she knew, to follow Naomi, to care for her, and to worship this amazing God that she had heard about. She resolved and kept her word. She didn't turn back like Orpah. She delighted in work, and she was diligent in her work. She trusted God in hard times. She looked for help when she needed it, and that help was redemption. We see and we learn that Ruth was a godly mother with a godly heritage. Even though she was a foreigner, she trusted in God. She became part of the family of Israel, and she loved this new family. She resolved to obey God's word and God's direction for her life. And God blessed her not only with a son, but to be in the heritage and the family line of not only King David, but King Jesus, our Redeemer. Most important question for today is, do you know your Redeemer? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you placed yourself under his care and his authority? Have you said, I need to be redeemed. I need to be forgiven. Jesus, save me. And the Bible says, all who call on him, he will not put away. He will welcome you. And we would welcome you as a church family to be part of this family, part of God's family. My last statement is, be like Ruth. Whether you're a man or a woman, be someone who loves and cares for others. Be someone who does things with determination and resolve. And be someone who says to the Redeemer, I need to be saved. I need to be loved by my Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Mark's going to come. We're going to sing a final song. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for including this short story in your word to see how a young woman who lost her husband, moved away from her home and everything she knew because she loved you and she loved her new family. Thank you for the example of love and determination and for redemption, to see how you cared for and provided for Ruth and her family, and how through your son, Jesus Christ, you care for and provide for us. Thank you for our Redeemer. Peace be to you, sisters and brothers, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.